السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. صدق الله العظيم. علماء الكرام، most respected brothers in Islam and also sisters at the madrasa, we are still discussing that hadith sharif of Rasul Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in which our beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam states that my Allah gave me specific instructions, special orders with regards to 9 things. Alhamdulillah, the impact of this hadith seems to be tremendous, because many brothers are indicating that after listening to this hadith sharif repeatedly, now they are becoming very concerned that in their private life also they must stay away from sins, because this was the area that was neglected. In public we are a little careful, but when it comes to our private lives, then that is where we become negligent. We believe that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, na'uzu billah, is sleeping at night too. Because when we go to the masjid, then people recognize us as Haji Saab, as Mufti Saab, as Maulana Saab, or as a person engaged in the activities of deen. So they respect us. So we too feel a little ashamed of doing anything that will bring about embarrassment and shame upon us. But when it comes to our private lives, then they, we become very negligent. So Rasul-e Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this first point, if we can only keep it before us at all times, that if the Rasul of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is saying that my Allah has given me specific instruction, He has directed me, He has ordered me, that I fear Him both in my public and my private life. In seclusion and in public, I must fear my Allah. So then we, how much we should bear this in mind, that Allah is watching at all times, Allah knows everything, Allah hears everything. So how can we be sinning in our private lives when Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is aware of everything that we are doing? I have discussed this already at length, and we wish to proceed a little further. The second point also we have discussed to some extent, that Rasul-e Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that my Allah ordered me that I should say that which is haq, which is the truth, which is just, which is fair. I'm giving you an explanation of that hadith. Whether I am pleased or I am unhappy, in whatever state I may be, sometimes when we are angry with a person, then we tend to say those things which are unjust and unfair. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, my Rabb has ordered me that I should not do that. And we know that Rasul-e Pak sallallahu alayhi wasalam was never ever going to do that. There was no question of the Rasul of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala ever disobeying Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So it was for us that in whatever mood we may be, whether we are happy with the person or we are unhappy, whether that person is our brother or whether that woman is our sister or mother, whether that person is our father or our friend or our enemy, but when it comes to justice, then we should not differentiate. We should say only that which is haq, which is the truth. We must not forget all the good qualities of that person when we dislike that person. And we should not put that person into the heavens and the skies when we like that person, knowing fully well that that friend of ours has got so many bad habits. And that friend of ours is involved in corruption, is involved in bribes, is involved in all kinds of crime, but just because he has done us a great favor, he has been able to get us some license that we wouldn't have got if we had not befriended him. So now we will praise this person and make the sky the limit. So it should not be that. We should be very careful. There must be a'tidal. Whatever state of mind we may be, whatever condition we may be in, but we should only say that which is haq, which is the truth, which is just, which is fair, in which there is adl. Then Nabi Paak sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave us a very, very important nasihat, and that is that whether we are rich or we are poor, in both states, states of affluence and state of poverty, we should adopt moderation. Don't go on to extremes at all. And I explained this fully, that even if we have plentiful, but the best policy is to remain moderate at all times, because we do not know what will happen in future. Times change, conditions change, and we have seen this throughout the ages, throughout history we have seen this. Allah. How people at one time, look at the Mughal emperors. The Mughal emperors, their great-grandchildren are begging in the streets of Delhi today. And yet at one time there were palaces in which their grandfathers were residing. And there was pomp and there was show and there was glory and there was music and there was dancing. And there were thousands of servants at their beck and call. And today there's nothing left there. And if you have to meet those people, then they will trace the lineage back to those emperors and say, my great-great-grandfather was the king, or he was the emperor, or he was the Mughal ruler. So therefore, we do not know what condition will befall the person. And I explained that it is extremely difficult when a person has been leading a life of affluence and he is going on to extremes, then it becomes very difficult for that person when poverty comes suddenly upon that person. And at present, especially with all the earthquakes and with all the shake-ups that we are hearing about and with all the flood disasters and the cyclone disasters, we can see how people who were living in palatial homes and mansions and with everything available, but suddenly they become refugees, suddenly they have to go and sleep in a tent, and suddenly they have to extend their hands for just a few slices of bread. So we must take lessons from all these things that are happening around. So therefore Nabi Paak sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that in whatever state you may be, adopt moderation. Don't go on to extremes. Then Rasul Paak sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, my Rabb ordered me, gave me very specific orders and instructions, that even if my family members have to break off their ties, they are breaking their tie, they are behaving in an uncivilized manner, they are rude and they are crude, they are not appreciating the gifts that I have given to them, they are not appreciating my kindness, they are not appreciating my good character and good nature. I'm giving you a detailed explanation, it's not the words of the hadith. But they are not appreciating all this, and they are breaking off the family ties. Then too you don't break off those family ties. Now this is something difficult on the nafs, and this is what I'm trying to get across in these majlises. These majlises are not just majlises of another waaz and nasihat, that we listen to a few hadiths and few Quranic verses, and then we say, wah wah, mashallah, good talk, and that's the end of the story. These things are to take that pain. It's time now that we learn to take that pain on our hearts. What is this that we are going to, how long are we going to continue with a dirty, filthy heart, that we just cannot seem to forgive? I'm not saying that the thought will disappear from the minds. If somebody has hurt us, if somebody has injured our feelings, then it will definitely hurt. Nabi Paak sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala tells him, that we know fully well that what this kuffar and mushrikeen are saying, yadiqu sadruk, your sina, your heart, you feel the tightness, that what are they saying? That what I am doing and what they are saying about me. So it hurts, it's natural to feel hurt. But what is Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam told? Say that if they are saying that you are mad, if they are saying that you are insane, if they are saying you are majnoon, and if they are saying that you have turned people away from the true God, then let them say what they say. فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ. What you should do is glorify your Rabb and praise your Rabb. Why? Because if you are going to glorify your Rabb, it will mean that let them say what they say, but what you are saying is that my Rabb, if he is so pure, so clean, free of deficiency and defect and weakness. Subhana, when we are saying Subhan, Subhanallah, you must say Subhanallah. So which means that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is free from any kind of defect, any kind of weakness. Wow. So that Allah who is so powerful, who is free from all defect and weakness, he will never appoint a madman to be a Nabi. Wow. If we are not going to appoint a madman to handle our till in the shop, you think Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will appoint a madman to become the Rasul and the Khatamun Nabiyyin, the last of all the messengers, and the one on whom he is going to reveal the Quran Sharif. So let them say that you are mad, let them say that you are Majnoon, and let them call you all kinds of names and give you all kinds of titles, but your Allah knows that you are his Rasul, and your Allah knows that you are not what they are saying. So why are you concerned? So we are given a lesson that we must turn towards Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala when people criticize us, when they mock us, when they tease us, or when they make a joke of us, or when they break our ties with us, then we must still maintain those family ties. And when we are talking about family ties, it starts off from the parents. That the family ties with parents is the most important part of family. If the parents, people have broken off the ties, then we can just imagine where will they be able to maintain ties with other members of the family. And there is so much that we can speak on that, but I will come to that inshallah if Allah Ta'ala gives me life to continue, then we will discuss those things in detail again. So it concerns our ties with our parents, with our brothers and sisters, with our nephews, uncles, nieces, aunts. It goes a long way. So we are not saying, and I mentioned this, that we are not saying that every day you have to phone each one of them, every day you have to visit them, every day you have to call on them. It's impossible. We won't be able to do that. But we should not break off ties. We should not say that because you didn't attend my son's nikah, so therefore I'm not going to come and visit you at all now in my life. Because you didn't come to the janaza salat of so and so, and you didn't come to the khatam that we had after the janaza, which was in actual fact a real party in which we had so much of delicacies celebrating the death of our family member. But now we are not going to have any ties with you because we invited you to come and you didn't come. Or for petty things, we say, I've got nothing to do with him anymore. I've got nothing to do with her anymore. Why? Because she said this or he said that. So this is what Rasulullah Pak Sarasam is telling us. That if you are going to do the same thing that that person did, then it is like barking back at the dog. So we should not be like that. What we should do is if that person has said something, well, ask that person for forgiveness. Say, if I have hurt your feelings, if you think that I have harmed you, then forgive me and make dua for me. After that, if you do not want to maintain that same friendly relationship as before, there is no harm. But at least keep the doors of communication open. Do not harbor jealousy, malice and in the heart against that person. If you meet the person, make salam. And now and again, send some gifts, because those gifts will wipe away the ill feeling that has settled in the heart. Salam and gifts, these two things are such that if ill feelings have settled in the heart, they will slowly wipe it off. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala therefore mentions in the Holy Quran Sharif, idfa' billati hiya ahsan fa izal ladhi baynaka wa baynahu adawah ka annahu waliyun hamim. Repel evil with something better, with ahsan. If there is enmity, if there is hatred, if there is dislike between you, then what will Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala do? فَإِذَا الَّذِي بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَهُ عَدَاوَةٌ فَأَنَّكَ وَلِيٌّ حَمِيمٌ. Allah Ta'ala will make you bosom friends, garma garam dost. Why? If you are going to be repelling evil with something better in return. Now Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, this is what my Rabb ordered me. Open a few windows on that side. So this is what my Rabb ordered me. Then Nabi Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says that even if they have deprived me of my rights, I must make sure that I fulfill their rights. Even if they have deprived me of my rights, I must fulfill their rights. And today we say that if he has deprived me of my rights, then I must deprive him totally of every right. We are not prepared to even smile and talk to that person. We are not even prepared to return the salam of that person. And then we say we are ashiks of Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And we want peace of mind, we want contentment, we want happiness. How can it come? Nabi Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is saying that this is what my Rabb ordered me. Then Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says that if injustice has been done to me, then I must forgive the person. There again I explained that it is not compulsory that we have to forgive everything that the person has done. It's not necessary. But the person who claims to be an ashik of Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then he can still claim the money that is being owed to him. But the injustice that has been done over the years, the person must learn to forgive. And then we went on to the next point, that Nabi Ali Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that my Rabb ordered me that in my silence there must be meditation. Wow. And I think that is where we stopped. That in silence there must be meditation. That we must think, we must ponder, we must reflect over our lives. Where have we come from and where we are heading for? And the janazas that are leaving in front of us, where are they going? What have we done in this world? Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala blessed us with so much of ni'mats, what did we do? Ponder over the creation of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, the heavens and the earth, and everything that Allah Ta'ala created for us, and what is our attitude towards Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So this meditation in the creation of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala was a great sifat of the believers. Again, it is a subject in which if we have to delve, it will take a lot of time, but we want to go on to the next point. The next point is which Allah, Nabi Pak Sasam says that my Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala ordered me that whenever I speak, it must be zikrullah. My speech must be zikrullah. Now we will say that what, how can speech be zikrullah? Because when you are speaking, now I am talking to you, so I can't be reading subhanallah, alhamdulillah, and at the same time giving the speech to, both things can't go together. So when he says my speech must be zikrullah, it means that whatever I say, whatever I speak, it must be with the conscious awareness that my Allah is aware of what I am saying. So therefore, what I am saying must conform with the Sharia. I must not speak anything with my tongue which is haram, which is not permissible. I must not engage my tongue in any kind of conversation which is displeasing to my Allah and my Creator. So then that will become zikrullah. Whether it is in business that the person is doing trade and is using the tongue correctly, that will become zikrullah. If he is concerned that I must use the tongue as my Allah has ordered, I must not use it for false oaths and qasams. When I know that that article has got a defect, then I must not praise that article in such a way that the customer really believes me that that article has got no defect at all. When I am selling my car, if I have been driving that car without the speedo cable for 20,000, 30,000 kilometers before connecting it, so then I must not tell that client that this car has got very low mileage. Or as it is well known, that some places they say that they give the car a haircut. Haircut means that they turn the speedo cable, the speedometer, they reverse it. The mileage is reversed. If the person did 100,000, then they give it a haircut, show you 20,000. So now this person who is buying, we think that we have deceived this person. Our heart inside tells us that I got 20,000 extra. If only I told this person the truth, I would have lost 20,000 rands. But brothers, believe me that 20,000, the bala that it will bring, it will make this person's life restless. And you will see it in that person's life within a few days or few months or within a generation or two, that what happens. And even if the person accumulated plentiful in that haram way, then a day will come when just one son is required to blow up the wealth and the fortune within a few days. The father worked hard, accumulated everything halal, haram, and left it for the son. And that son, the very first day that the father died, he was not even interested in the janazah salat or in the burial of the father. He was more interested in what the father left behind. And it doesn't even take a few days or a few months for him to go and blow it up in the casino. And this is not fairy tale, I'm telling you. There are stories, there are incidents which are true, true, which have come to our attention. And mothers have been crying over it. The mothers have been crying that this is what my son did. In one day's time, he went and blew up 200,000 rand in the casino. The father died today, and the next day, the son blew up 220,000 rand in the casino. So this is what happens. And a little bit of investigation revealed that the major part of the income of this father was interest on the monies that he loaned. So this is what I'm trying to explain to you, that we haven't deceived anyone and fooled anyone but ourselves. Lazzate zikre name khuda hai chaman, lazzate zikre name khuda hai chaman, aur ghaflat ki dunya hai dashto daman. Lazzate zikre name khuda hai chaman, aur ghaflat ki dunya hai dashto daman. आपके नाम पर जिसने हिजरत किया पा गया वो बहारे वतन. आपके नाम पर जिसने हिजरत किया पा गया वो बहारे वतन. हे जरूरी गुनाहों को भी छोड़ दे, ہے ضروری گناہوں کو بھی چھوڑ دے اصل ہجرت نہیں صرف ترک وطن ہے ضروری گناہوں کو بھی چھوڑ دے اصل ہجرت نہیں صرف ترک وطن ہاں if only we can understand this which Allah just put into my mind now the لذت ذکر نام خدا ہے چمن what is beauty what is garden what is garden you see if you want gardens in your heart then it is in the taking of the name of Allah tabaraka wa taala the sweetness the enjoyment in the taking of Allah tabaraka wa taala's name that is garden لذت ذکر نام خدا ہے چمن But when, not just saying Allah with the tongue, saying Allah with the tongue we'll get some sawab, but we won't get gardens in our heart. When we're taking the name of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, at that time keep all his ni'mats in front of us. When you're saying one time also Allah, then at that time keep all the ni'mats of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in front. That, oh Allah, how much of your ni'mats you have blessed me with. Everything in the heavens and the earth, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has created for us. And then in our bodies, so much of ni'mats. And then outside our bodies, so much of ni'mats. So much of ni'mats. And it is human nature that when a person is generous and kind towards somebody, then the person loves that person. That's human nature. That if somebody is kind, our parents are kind to us, we love them. Our uncles, aunts are kind to us, we love them. Our friends are kind to us, we love them. So anybody who shows some kind of kindness, then love must come in the heart. It's natural. It's human. It is human. It is natural. So when we are going to think that if a person, a human being gives us some gift and we begin to love that person, then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has given us so much that we just cannot count. In ta'uddu ni'matullahi la tuhsuha. That if you have to try and count, you will never be able to count. Then with what love we must take his name? With what love we must take his name? Now when we are going to take his name and say even once Allah, that sweetness that Allah will give to us, it will be gardens in our heart, gardens. Ghaflat ki dunya hai dasht o daman. What is jungles and forests? It is ghaflat ki dunya, that when we become negligent of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, we do not realize that he is seeing, he is hearing, he is knowing, and he has created everything for us. When we become negligent, then that is when you have got jungles in the heart. Nothing in there but weeds. Weeds and jungle and desert. He said, now that heart has become completely a desert. There's nothing in there or a jungle. And we know that when there is a jungle, then what do you get in those jungles? You will get lions, cheetahs, you will get hogs, you will get snakes, you'll get scorpions, you will get all kinds of harmful creatures in that jungle. So he says, when you are going to become negligent and you're going to get ghaflat in your heart, then that heart is not going to be a garden of Jannat, or that heart is not going to be a garden receiving Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's rahmat and mercy. That heart will now be a forest, a jungle, in which there will be all kinds of creatures, animals, insects, which will be harmful. Now you will hear the roar of the lion coming out from this person. With his wife, this person will be roaring there in the house. He is not going to realize that this is a bandi of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. It is Allah ta'ala's fazl and his ihsan and his mercy and his kindness that by means of nikah he made her halal for me. So therefore I must treat her with kindness. I must overlook her shortcomings and faults. I must not roar like a lion there. This person now you will hear the roar of the lion coming from this heart. Sometime you will see that this person wants to devour like the cheetah. He wants to devour like the cheetah devours. And sometimes you will find that filth of the hog in that life of that person who hasn't got zikrullah in his heart. The filth of the hog will be seen in this person. Sometimes you will see the barking of the dog. Sometimes you will see the greed of the dog. Sometimes you will see the filth of the pigs. And sometimes you will see the sting of the scorpion. That this person's tongue will be stinging all the time. Words will come out from there which will tear up the hearts of the people. There will be no happiness created with this tongue. Whereas this tongue Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gave so that he may put happiness into other people's hearts. Idkhalu surur fi qalbil mu'min is an ibadat. To put happiness into the heart of a mu'min. But instead, this person's tongue will be cutting at hearts, slicing at hearts. So when that heart is not going to have zikrullah, this is why Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that Allah said that my speech must be nothing but zikrullah. Meaning that it must be within the confines of sharia. It must be pleasing to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Lazzate zikre naame khuda hai chaman aur ghaflat ki dunya hai dasht o daman. Aapke naam par jisne hijrat kiya, pa gaya wo bahare watan. That if this person made hijrat in the name of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, not just the leaving of one's town and one's country and going somewhere far away and say that I made hijrat. There are many, many brothers and sisters of ours who have made hijrat from this country. But wherever they went, they took their evils with them. How many of them left this country because they could not practice on Islam here? And they felt that the other country that they are going to, it will be much more easier for them to practice on Islam. If they left the country for that, we can say Alhamdulillah, MashaAllah. But the majority merely left because the conditions are changing here, our businesses are collapsing here, but they took with them all the radio and television and all the filthy programs and the cassettes, and they go in and bought even filthier ones that side because there was no censorship on that side. I'm talking about the days when there was apartheid here, when they left from here and went to England and America and other places. Then if you had to visit them, one home when we visited, that young child said that we just had bacon and eggs for breakfast. And the people made hijrat from South Africa. They made hijrat from South Africa. Now that kind of hijrat has got no weight in the eye of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So when we are going to make hijrat in the name of Allah, meaning that away from all our sins we are going to make hijrat. When we are going to give up the sins, we are going to make hijrat from this area that we are familiar with. The area of sins in our lives with which we are so familiar and which we are with so comfortable. Because when we are committing those sins, we are finding ourselves very comfortable and very familiar. It is just like being in your hometown where you are very familiar with the environment, you are familiar with the area, you are familiar with the roads and streets, and you know exactly where the post office is and where the bank is and where your business is. So you feel comfortable in your own hometown. When you go to a strange country, then you feel uncomfortable. There you are, sometimes you don't know the language, sometimes you don't know the area, sometimes you are in a very, very dangerous situation. So the person finds himself very comfortable in his hometown. So he says that when you are going to make hijrat from this, what he means is the hijrat from those areas of your life in which you are very comfortable committing sins, then you will get Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Otherwise you can do as much deen work, you can go to the khanqahs as much as you want, and you can sit in the zikr programs as much as you want. But if you are not going to make hijrat from sins, then we will be sitting all our lives and we will never be able to get bahare watan in our hearts. The spring of our towns, the beauty of our that we enjoyed, or the comfort that we enjoyed, the serenity, the tranquility, the happiness, the joy, the satisfaction that a person gets in his comfortable home. So he is not going to get that unless he makes hijrat from sins. And this is the purpose of these majlises, that we have to make hijrat from sins. Get the courage, become like lions against sins. So when we're going to make hijrat from sins, then Allah Ta'ala will give bahare watan. Aapke naam par jisne hijrat kiya, pa gaya wo bahare watan. He zaruri gunaho ko bhi chhod de, he zaruri gunaho ko bhi chhod de. Asl hijrat nahi sirf tarke watan. It's extremely important that you have to give up sins. Otherwise, just giving up your town and your country and your city and going far away is not hijrat. Today we have taken this word hijrat also very lightly, that we have made hijrat. What is hijrat? Hijrat you have to make first from sins. Or the person is going out with this niyat that he wants to make hijrat from sins. Sometimes a person hasn't given up sins, but his niyat to go out, to leave the country, to leave the town for a few days, few months, or years, or all for all times, should be that he wants to make total hijrat from sins and return to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So he says, then you will get bahare watan, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Just see what kind of joy, what kind of happiness. He will give you gardens in the heart, gardens, not one garden. Gardens Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will give in the heart. There will be such peace, such satisfaction, such contentment. But you have to first make the hijrat. Without the hijrat from sins, nothing will come in the heart. The entire world, if they have to get together and we say, Allah, my Shaykh says, حضرت مولانا کی محمد اختر صاحب دامت برکاتہم کہ اگر ساری دنیا کے انسان مسلمان مل کر کے اللہ کہے ایک دفعہ اور لاکھ دفعہ 100,000 times we say Allah and if سیدنا ابو بکر صدیق رضی اللہ تعالیٰ عنہ he has to come and he is given the opportunity to say Allah and just once he says Allah then that Allah of حضرت ابو بکر صدیق رضی اللہ تعالیٰ عنہ in comparison with the Allah of 100,000 times that we make, what will be the difference? His one Allah will carry that weight that all our millions of Allahs will not carry. Because his Allah will be coming out with a heart which had made total hijrat from all things that Allah Ta'ala and his Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam were displeased with and implemented everything that Allah and his Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi were pleased with. So this is what Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, that my speech must be zikrullah. That means whatever I say, either I am making tasbih, making zikr, or in my business when I am using this tongue of mine, then I am careful that I am not deceiving the customer. I am not speaking lies. I am not hiding any defect. I am not doing a fraudulent deal. In the home, I am using this tongue correctly. I am not swearing. I am not cursing. I am not taking false oaths and qasams. I am not abusing the wife and children with my speech. It's not only beating them up, abuses of different kinds. So this is what the person's tongue must be engaged in zikr, means all the time that my Allah is away. And then together with that, when the person is giving up all this, then if he makes a little bit of zikrullah also, it will get him far, far, far. Plentiful of zikrullah with no effort to give up the haram will bring some sawab, some reward, but emptiness still in the heart. After ages of making zikrullah, there will be still emptiness. And if the person makes an effort towards giving up haram, and also the effort to return to whomsoever whatever is due, which before his tawbah he usurped or trampled upon the rights of others, now he has made up his mind and his niyat that I will take that embarrassment, I will take that shame upon myself, but I will lower myself and I will seek forgiveness. Then see, Allah Ta'ala will raise that person. Allah will give him elevation. Allah Ta'ala will give him respect. Allah Ta'ala will give that person honor. مَن تَوَادَعَ لِلَّهِ رَفَعُهُ اللَّهِ. At present, our love for Islam, our love for Deen, our love for the Quran, our love for Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and our concern for what is happening all over the world, our concern of the Muslim Ummah is all just lip service. Nothing deep-hearted. It is just like that person, the dog was dying and he was sitting there and crying. So somebody asked him that, why are you crying? He said, this dog is dying and I've got great sympathy and love and feeling for this dog which is dying. So he said, why is it dying? It's dying because of hunger. So what have you got in the basket? He said, in the basket I've got bread. So if it's dying of hunger, then why don't you give that dog some bread then? He said, well, the bread I paid for and tears are free. Bread he paid for, the tears were free. So that is our condition, that we are just prepared to shed a few tears for the Muslim Ummah, but our real concern is not there. For if we were concerned about the Muslim Ummah, then are we not part of the Muslim Ummah? If we are concerned about the condition of the Muslim Ummah, that they are indulging in crime, in violence, in gambling, and at the Dubai airport they sell so much of liquor, and there they have got so much of sinful things going on in this country and that country, and the Muslims all over the world are doing this and doing that, we've got concern. So if we've got concern for the Muslim Ummah, then we are also part of the Muslim Ummah. So we will only be true in our claim if we are concerned about ourselves too. But if we are not concerned about ourselves, then it shows that it is just to pass the buck on somewhere else, to divert our attention, or to just give our nafs some sort of satisfaction, that you see how concerned you were about the Muslim Ummah. So on the day of Qiyamah, you will be absolved because you showed concern for the Muslim Ummah. So it is just to shift the attention. brothers, Islah is not an easy thing. The mashayikh spent years sometimes on the Islah of one person. Sometimes they made the person give up so many things that he was doing in the form of ibadat, nafil ibadat, because they saw that this person is getting pride in his heart. And sometimes they encouraged him to do more. So it is like a tabib who checks the patient and changes the medication as required. So my dear brothers, what we have to do is nothing major. We don't have to give up our wives and children and families and businesses. And we don't have to say that now it's impossible. How can we get to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala? It's very difficult. Nothing difficult. It's extremely easy. We are not saying you must do too many things. We are saying you must give up. Now in giving up, what is the difficulty? Yes, the difficulty is inside, on the nafs only. But if a person is giving up his television filth programs, if he's giving up his casino, if he's giving up his wine and women, one person says, well, now my head is not working. My business is being affected. I'm going mad. Why? Because of this woman. She's just not giving me peace. Illicit love relationship. And he says, no doubt what you say, that your life becomes restless and Jahannam on earth. He says, I'm going through it. I don't know what to do. I know everything. I know everything, he says. But I'm not getting that himmat and courage. I say, why? Turkey and other parts of the world, the earthquake shook the cities. Your heart is already shaken. The earthquake has struck your heart. Azab of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, ishq-e majazi, azab-e ilahi. Maulana Ashraf Ali Sahib Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi used to say, ishq-e majazi, ye azab-e ilahi hai. Illicit love relationships, it is the azab of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Just as earthquakes, we say, is an azab of Allah. Flood waters, azab of Allah. Gale force winds, azab of Allah. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala shakes those hearts up. Makes the person restless. He cannot sleep. He doesn't know what is happening. He says, my business is affected. Everything is affected. Just for the sake of one woman with whom he has a haram and illicit relationship. So that is azab-e-ilahi. Ishq-e-majazi, azab-e-ilahi. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give me, give you, and the entire ummah the tawfiq to make hijrat from sins and return towards Him and seek from Him. Allah ta'ala is very merciful. He is very forgiving. He is very kind. He is so merciful, so kind and so forgiving that we cannot even imagine. I mean, which other Allah would have given us such a long time to change? Give us food, give us drink, give us clothes, give us shelter, and we use everything for His disobedience. And He goes on giving, goes on giving. Where else we will find such a compassionate, kind and merciful Allah? But Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala also says that when I grip, then my grip is very severe. So we must be afraid, we must be careful. Must not take advantage. So make plenty of tawbah, make plenty of istighfar, especially in these days. There is no other way out. If we want peace of mind, if we want happiness in our homes, in our lives, in the lives of our children, if we want some kind of tranquility, serenity and joy, inside, outside conditions can be anything, then there is no other prescription except Allah bi zikrillahi tatma'innul qulub. Positive zikr and negative zikr. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اے میرے پیارے خدا اے رحیم کریم اللہ اے ستار غفار اللہ ہمارے صغیرہ کبیرہ عمدن خطعن ظاہری باطنی ہر گناہ کو معاف فرما اے اللہ ہم سب کو صحت عافیت عزت سلامتی نصیب فرما پوری امت کی تو حفاظت فرما پوری امت پر رحم فرما پوری امت کی مغفرت فرما پوری امت کی خطاؤں کو معاف فرما پوری امت کے اللہ احسان کا معاملہ فرما اے اللہ ہمارے والدین کو ہمارے بیوی بچوں کو ہمارے بھائی بہنوں کو اور تمام امت مسلمہ کو تو صحت عافیت سلامتی عزت نصیب فرما اے اللہ جو پریشان حال ہے ان کی پریشانیوں کو ختم فرما جو بیمار ہے ان کو شفا عطا فرما جو محتاج اور تنگ دست ہے ان کی تنگ دستیوں کو دور فرما
ربنا تقبل منا انك انت السميع العليم وتب علينا انك انت التواب الرحيم اللهم انا نسالك من خير ما سالك منه نبيك وحبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذ منه نبيك وحبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وانت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوه الا بالله وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا ونبينا مولانا محمد وآله وأصحابه أجمعين برحمتك يا رب.